Soon afterwards, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. As he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the town was with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, "Don't cry." Then he went up and touched the bier they were carrying him on, and the bearers stood still. He said, "Young man, I say to you, get up." The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. They were all filled with awe and praised God. "A great prophet has appeared among us," they said. "God has come to help his people." This news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding countryside. Let's pray once more, shall we? Father, thank you that we are not left in the dark, but we have your words that are light and a life. And Father, as this story touches a very definite reality for all of us, the reality of death, Father, please may it do our hearts good today to see the Lord Jesus, who has power even over death. And we ask it, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. Friday morning, I was wrestling a lot with how to communicate this story to us today. And I was really kind of pulling out my hair. It had been my daughter's 5th birthday, so we'd got up in the morning. Excuse me, we got up in the morning and we'd had a really happy celebration. My daughter's 5, she loves all things fairies and pink, and it was a very happy morning. But in the middle of that celebration, I got a text message from a friend to say that his mum had died very suddenly in the night. Now that's the reality of life, isn't it? Celebrations of life paralleled with the reality of death. And the reality is there is not a person in this room who has not or will not be affected by death in some way. Whether that's the death of a family member, of a friend, whether it's something we see, an accident we encounter. And 100% of us in this room will have to deal with it when it comes to our own death. Death is the helpless reality of our world. And even as I say that this morning, that will bring all sorts of things flooding to each individual. For some of us this morning, that will be a raw reality. That will be something that we have encountered recently and will be very hard to hear this morning. For some of us, it will bring memories flooding back. The moments of death and that we encounter death can really flood memories. I can remember very specifically where I was, what I was doing when I found out my grandpa died. It brings memories flooding back because it's a hard reality. For some of you younger guys, you guys at school, maybe as yet you haven't experienced death firsthand. You know, we haven't encountered yet a family member. And I don't want to be morbid this morning, but the reality is that you will. You will encounter death because that is the reality of our world. It is the helpless reality that we all face. Death is around us. We can't run from it. We can't hide from it. We can try and cheat it a bit, you know, eat your 5 a day, you know, live a healthy lifestyle. You might prolong it a bit, but actually the reality is it faces all of us, doesn't it? Death is the helpless reality of our world. And I want to suggest that into that reality, which we have to be honest about today, into that reality, this is a story we should sit up and listen to today. This story of Jesus encountering a funeral procession as he approaches this town called Nain is a story that we should sit up and listen to. Why? Because it teaches us this reality. This is a bit of a clunky sentence, but please hear it. Jesus is God who helps us in the helplessness of death. That is what this story puts up bold and in neon lights before us today. Jesus is God who helps us in the helpless reality of death, as we face death. Now that's what the crowds conclude, isn't it, at the end of this occasion? So just look with me at verse 16 of our story. So the crowds, they see Jesus raise this young man back to life, not an everyday occurrence. And look what they say, God has come to help his people. That is their conclusion as they see what Jesus does. This phrase, God has come to help his people, appears a couple of times in Luke's gospel. And it literally means that God has come to visit us. That's the Greek word that's used there. He has come to visit his people, like you would go and visit a sick person in hospital, or you would go to someone's house when they're in need. God, the God of heaven, the God of our universe, the God who made us, has come to help us. He's come to see us. He's come to do something about our mess. That is what they recognize as Jesus raises this man back to life. God has come to help us in the helplessness of death. And whatever encounters we have had with death today, I want to suggest that as we leave this room this morning, having looked at this story together, we should leave saying a number of things. And the first thing that this story of the widow of Nain should cause us to say is that I'm helpless in the face of death. I'm helpless in the face of death. Many of you will know that last Saturday, I was running in the park, and it was really windy, but a tree fell over, a massive tree, one of the huge ones in Pym's Park, and it collapsed on top of a man. And so there was a whole crowd of us around this tree trying to free this man as he was pinned to the floor by this humongous tree. Now, what was the word to describe him? He was helpless, wasn't he? Because he had this huge tree pressing him to the ground. He could not do anything. He was unable to help himself. He could not move. That is what it means to be helpless, pinned to the ground, stuck, unable to help yourself. And when it comes to the reality of death, you and I are like that man pinned under the tree. We are helpless. There is nothing we can do. We are unable to help ourselves. Help has to come from outside, if it can. Because helplessness is what we feel when it comes to death. And it is this helplessness, and please see this in the story, it is this helplessness that Jesus encounters as Jesus and his disciples and the crowds with him walk towards this town called Nain. They walk to the town, and as they get there, out comes from this town a scene of helplessness, total helplessness, a funeral procession. Just look at verse 12. As he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the town was with her. Many of us have been in this sort of a situation, maybe not culturally like this, but we have been at a funeral, haven't we? We have wept at a funeral. We have walked in a funeral procession. And here is a picture of the helplessness caused by death that many of us will know firsthand. First of all, there is the helplessness of this young man himself, the dead young man, lifeless body. He is helpless, isn't he? He has to be carried because he cannot walk himself. He is helpless. Death leaves him helpless. There is nothing he can do about death. And then we meet this helpless woman. And isn't your heart moved for her? Here is a woman who is helplessness. It's the helplessness of being the living when someone dies. It's the helplessness of grieving over a son that she's lost. And she can do nothing about it. That's partly what her tears are driven by. Here she is. Yes, she's left with nothing. Yes, there is all sorts of grief that sort of death leaves behind. But her helplessness is that I can do nothing about my son. Here he is. He's lying lifeless on this open coffin. And I can do nothing. She's a helpless woman. And we will know that, won't we? We will know the reality of grieving our helplessness as we see someone who's died. We can do nothing. And then with this widow and with this young man is a helpless crowd. Sympathetic, yes, it's a beautiful thing actually. I don't know if you noticed this as we read. But here is this woman, she's a widow. She's going to have nothing. Death leaves a mess behind. But what do the town do? Well, they're with her. It's a beautiful thing. And as beautiful as it is, though, they are helpless too, aren't they? As they walk out with this woman. Notice the language in verse 12. This crowd from the town was with her. Sympathetic, yes. An arm around the shoulder, yes. Maybe able to meet some of her needs, yes. But able to do something about death? No. Because death leaves us helpless. There is nothing that we can do. And I'm sure that many of us can identify with this helplessness this morning. This is all too familiar a scene. Maybe not for some of you younger guys, okay? Because you haven't done enough life yet. But for some of us older ones here, we've been at funerals. We've seen this scene. We've wept tears. We've put an arm around a friend. Even last week, I was able to put an arm around a friend and say, you know, I'm sorry for your loss. But that's all I could do. Because I cannot do anything about death myself. None of us can. We are helpless when it comes to death. And we wander through life. We wander through life like this crowd walking with this widow. All we can do is weep with the widow, can't we? That's all you and I can do in ourselves, in our own power. All we can do is weep with this widow. And Luke 1 verse 78 says this. It's Zechariah's words, and he describes humanity, and he says that humanity, you and I, live under the shadow of death. You know what it's like to sit in the shade of a tree where the sun is shining, but it's all blocked out by the tree, by this looming tree that you're sitting under? Well, the Bible says that's what it's like to be human. That this huge looming thing called death casts its shadow over the whole of your life. Because it's coming. It's a reality, and there's nothing we can do about it. And death has not always been in our world. Lots of you will know that. Death has not always been part of our world. Some of you won't know that. It was only a reality when Adam and Eve turned their back on God, rejected him as God, and then death entered our world. And ever since then, the shadow of death has loomed over us as humanity. This story, perhaps your current experience, reminds us that we, in ourselves, in our own power, in our own strength, are helpless when it comes to death. We can do nothing but weep with the widow. We can do nothing but put an arm around those who have lost someone, because we are helpless. And, you know, I'm not out, guys, to depress you this morning. I'm really not. But the Bible speaks about reality, doesn't it? And here is a story that puts reality in our faces. And this story should, if you aren't already there, it should this morning leave you saying, I'm helpless in the face of death. It should bring you to the reality that there is nothing you can do. This crowd, this widow, this young man, they are all helpless when it comes to death. But actually, if we were to walk out of here this morning, I have not done my job as a preacher of Jesus this morning. Because actually this story should leave us saying something else as well. It should leave us saying that help in the face of death, help in the helplessness of death, is only found in the Lord Jesus. Help is only found in Jesus. With my kids, we started to watch some of the British Strongman competition the other day. It was on TV. Has anyone else seen that? Clement's seen it. That's good. It's an amazing thing. Maybe it's not your thing, kind of big men lifting heavy stuff, but I kind of enjoy it. And there's these guys, they are immense in power. They are immense in their ability. And they pick up weights. Like one guy was lifting this bar above his head like this. And when I worked out how much it was, it's my weight and some. And he was lifting it like it was a can of Coke or something above his head. They are massive guys. But the thing that we noticed about these powerful men as they do this competition is that it gets to a point where they throw their hands up and they say, I can't do anymore. They throw their hands in the air and they say, that's too big a challenge for me. Now my question is it the same when it comes to Jesus? As you're reading Luke's gospel, you have seen a man mighty in power, haven't we? Even the previous story. So last week, if you were with us, we saw this man, centurion, servant. Where was he? He was at the point of death. He hadn't died. Big challenge. He was at the point of death. And in a word, Jesus made him well.
Jesus didn't even have to go to his house
and he made him well.
That's a mighty man. That is mighty power.
But what about when it comes to death? Is that one challenge too far for Jesus? Is that the sort of thing that, well, you know, you've gone beyond the help of Jesus when you get to death? Is that just one thing too far? Does Jesus throw his hands up like a mighty man and say, "Whoa, that's too much for me"? Well, you know the answers. No. But do you know what? That's what people might have been thinking. That's why they were helpless. Well, Jesus, there's nothing we can do here, surely, as they encounter this funeral procession. But our story today, and please hear this, friends, our story today should leave us in no doubt that Jesus has power to deal with death. Jesus has the ability to help us when it comes to death, to our death. Because he is God who has come to help us in the helplessness of death. Just look at verse 15. Here should leave you in no doubt. End of verse 14, beginning of verse 15. He said to this young man, "I say to you, get up." The dead man sat up and began to talk. And Jesus gave him back to his mother. This is not a scene that I doubt any of you have seen at any funeral. The Lord Jesus gets this young man back to life. Raise up, get up. That's what it means. It's the same word used of Jesus' resurrection. Get up, rise up. And this man who's died comes back to life. And if that is not the proof you need that Jesus can help you with death, then I could take you to another several places. But this is all we need to see that Jesus is our only answer to death. Jesus is the only answer to this helplessness that we face in life. And this story shows us something wonderful today about this help of Jesus. And I want you to hear this, particularly if you're a follower of Jesus today, because there's some wonderful truths that will help you as you see that Jesus is our only help in death. The first thing is this, look at verse 13. When the Lord saw her, this weeping widow, his heart went out to her. It's easy to skirt over that phrase. His heart went out to her. Do you know what it is that drives Jesus to help people like you and I in the face of death? It's his compassion. It's his compassion for helpless people. The Lord Jesus sees us in the helplessness of death, the emptiness, our complete inability to do anything about it. And his heart is moved for us. What is it that drove Jesus into this world to do something about death? It was his compassion. It was his compassion for people like you and me that we hit this point of death, this point of no return. And he's compassionate about the loss that brings. He's compassionate about the pain of that. He's compassionate about our helplessness. And Jesus looks at a world like our world, and he's not sitting up there like, "Whoa, you've turned your back on me, I'm going to turn my back on you." No, he is filled with compassion. He's moved. Make sure you know Jesus, okay? Because this is our Jesus. A Jesus who is moved with compassion at the helplessness of death. And it's not just for a world. It's not just a kind of a general blanket, you're a big crowd. Who is it for here? It is for an individual. It is for a woman. It is her need he sees. And I want to assure you this morning that Jesus sees you if you are grieving. Jesus sees you in your helplessness of death. And Jesus wants to help you, driven by compassion. He wants to help you with your own death. But if you are grieving here this morning, he wants to help you in your grief. Because Jesus is full of compassion. And this help isn't just driven by compassion. Look how verse 13 goes on. Look what he says to this woman. He says, "Don't cry. Don't cry." The helplessness of death, what does it bring? It brings tears of helplessness, doesn't it? It brings tears of despair. But it is only the Lord Jesus who can remove the tears of helplessness and replace them with tears of hope. It is only the help of Jesus that can say to a grieving woman, do you know what? You and I, in reality, cannot walk up to someone who's grieving and say, "Don't cry." We do not have that power. We do not have that right. Only the Lord Jesus can go up to someone, this woman, and say, "Don't cry." Why? Because it's only his help that removes the helplessness of death itself. It's only his help that assures us that we will one day, if we are with him, having his help, will be raised to life. And do you know what, friends? It's this resurrection help of Jesus that means that Jesus can say to those of us today who are trusting in him, don't cry. Don't cry. Now, that doesn't mean that we can't shed tears. Okay, Jesus himself stood at the grave of a friend and he wept. We will shed tears. It is natural to shed tears when someone dies. But you don't any longer, as a follower of Jesus, shed the tears of despair and of helplessness. There's nothing you can do, because now you shed the tears of hope. Why? Because Jesus brings about resurrection. Because death is not the end. Jesus gets you through death. And if you lost someone who is following the Lord Jesus, what does he say to you? He says, friend, don't cry. Don't cry with tears of despair, because that person will be raised and restored to life again. Like this woman. I don't know if you noticed this. Okay, let me try and point something out. This might not make sense, but try and work with it. Like this woman, we too receive these words of Jesus, don't cry, before the resurrection happened. Do you notice when he says don't cry to her? Is it before or after he raises her son? It's before, isn't it? And here is a help for us, friends, that in our world, where we don't see the reality yet of resurrection, we can hear the words of Jesus and say to us, don't cry, as he helps us. We can be those who weep tears of hope rather than tears of helplessness before the resurrection happens. He calls her not to cry, to trust him before the resurrection of this son actually happens. Now, there was a very short gap between his saying it and his doing it. For us, there's not such a short gap, but he still says to us today, don't cry. The New Testament puts it like this, or Paul puts it like this. He says, we do not grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, so that we believe that God will bring with Jesus, my paraphrase, those he has helped. Do you see that? We don't grieve like the rest of men. Don't cry. Yes, we can shed tears of hope, but not tears of helplessness. And this help of Jesus, it's compassionate. It's the help of Jesus that says to us, don't cry, removes the tears of helplessness. But this help of Jesus is hands-on help. Did you notice that? Look at what happens in verse 14 and 15. He went up and he touched the bier. They were carrying him on, and the bearers stood still. He said to him, young man, I say to you, get up. The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. This is, again, we probably culturally lose something of the impact of this, but the Lord Jesus goes up to this funeral procession, and what does he do? Well, he touches death itself, which in their culture was a no-no. You know, that made him ceremonially unclean, as it were. But in our culture, what are we understanding? If I can put it like this, if it's not derogatory, he got his hands dirty with death. That's what he did. He put his hands on this situation and he brings it to a halt. But why does he put his hands on the situation? Why does he get his hands dirty with death? So that he can bring life. And I want to assure you, friends, that in this moment when the Lord Jesus touches death, he touches this coffin, is a hint of the help that Jesus would bring, not just for one man who had died, not just for one widow who was grieving, but for a world that is helpless in the face of death. Because the Lord Jesus offers hands-on help when it comes to death. The Lord Jesus is the one who got his hands dirty with death. Hebrews tells us he tasted death for us all. He entered death. He got his hands dirty with death as he hung on a cross. There was the death of another only son. He tasted death on our behalf at that cross. Why? So that as he was raised to life, he might give us the hands-on help of resurrection. The Lord Jesus has been there. He has passed through death, through into resurrection, so that those trusting in him, those looking to him for help, can be assured of the same. The help of Jesus is hands-on help. And I need to ask some of you this morning, are you people who have taken hold of this help of Jesus? Are you taken hold of this help that he offers in the face of your own death? That the Lord Jesus is the one who helps you, who will raise you as you seek help from him. Have you done that today? You can take hold of that help. You can have the assurance that this story of this young man brings. And today, if you are grieving for any reason, grieving the loss of someone who was looking to the Lord Jesus, can you hear these words of Jesus? Verse 13 again, just look carefully. When the Lord saw her, when the Lord saw you, his heart went out to you and he said, don't cry. The Lord Jesus says to you this morning, grieving a Christian, don't cry. You don't have to have the tears of helplessness anymore. You can swap them for tears of hope because Jesus raises people. And then the final thing I think this story should leave us saying is this help of Jesus should fill my mouth. This help, okay, so think about this story. This story shows us very clearly the helplessness of death. It shows us very clearly that Jesus is the one who can help us when it comes to death. But actually, it also shows us that this is help that we should go around talking about, isn't it? So when we love something and we find something we are captivated by, we always talk about it, don't we? So what do people do on Facebook? You know, they find a video they like and they share it with the world because they want to let people know, you know, oh, this is really funny, you should watch this. Or, you know, perhaps you've found a bargain in a shop and you think, oh, I've got to ring so-and-so and tell them. Why? Because when we find something good, we want to spread the news. It fills our mouths, right? We do it in all sorts of contexts. It's natural. Well, here's a question for you. In a world that is filled with the reality of death, in a world where we are constantly reminded of our helplessness when it comes to death, why wouldn't our mouths be filled with this help of Jesus? You are carrying around in your own being the answer to death. You know, imagine that if you had a cure in a bottle to cancer and you kept it on your shelf while hundreds of people around you were dying, and you said, oh, look, this is brilliant. I've got a little cure to cancer on my shelf. What sort of person would you be? You'd call him a monster, wouldn't you? Friends, we have the answer in the Lord Jesus to the helplessness of our world. Why wouldn't it fill our mouths? Why wouldn't it fill our mouths to tell people that Jesus helps us in the helplessness of death? Jesus is the only one who gets us through to resurrection and restoration with him. Why wouldn't that fill our mouths? If you're into that kind of thing, this should be trending in your conversations. Hashtag help from Jesus. This is what we should be talking about. Because Jesus is help that we need in the helplessness of death. He is God. Look at what happens, verse 16, 17. Why am I saying it should fill our mouths? Well, that's what it filled theirs. Look at verse 16. They were all filled with awe. And they praised God. Now, praise God, in Luke, it's a very significant thing. Praise God, you know, sometimes we think praise God just means standing there kind of with your hands in the air and worshipping. Actually, it's not that. In Luke, it very simply means they spoke. They spoke about God. They spoke about what he'd done. And what was on their lips? It was the help of Jesus. A great prophet has appeared among us. That's got a whole kind of Old Testament background of other prophets who'd raised the dead. And they say, God has come to help his people. What was on their lips? Jesus was on their lips. Jesus and his help in the face of death. And friends, this should be how we respond if we get this truth about Jesus. If we've had the help of Jesus. And how should it fill our mouths? Well, can I suggest it should fill our mouths in a number of directions? First of all, this way. It should fill our mouths in praise of God, in praise of the Lord Jesus. Jesus, thank you that you came into this world compassionately to help me in the helplessness of death. Jesus, thank you that you tasted death and you rose again that I might be assured that I will be raised to life with you one day. That's how it should fill our mouth that way. It should fill us in thanks to Jesus. But it should also fill our mouths when it comes to conversation with each other as a church. How often do we talk about resurrection with one another? This is our great hope. This is our hope in the helplessness of death. That Jesus, those trusting Jesus, those helped by Jesus will be raised. And friends, this should be filling our conversations with one another. Jesus is help from God in the helplessness of death. When you find yourself in the position of walking with the weeping widow, what can you say? Jesus is our help. Jesus is our resurrection. Jesus is the one that we have. That is what we should be encouraging one another with. We shouldn't be afraid of that. We shouldn't be thinking, oh, you know, it's not really going to help them to talk about Jesus right now. Yes, it will. Because Jesus is help. He is help in the helplessness of death. And we should be talking with one another. It should be filling our mouths, the help that Jesus gives. And it should be filling our mouths when it comes to the conversations we have with this community, with the people in your workplaces, with the family that doesn't know Jesus. Are you spreading this message that Jesus is God who helps us in the helplessness of death? Why wouldn't you? Because you have the answer to what everyone else is helpless when it comes to. Jesus is the answer to death. And so friends, three things. Three things this morning that this story should leave us saying. It should leave you saying, if you haven't already, I'm helpless because of death. People can try all sorts of crazy things to avoid death, but we are helpless when it comes to death. But Jesus is the help that we need, and that is a truth that should be filling our lips. And if this morning you are grieving, if you are grieving this morning over a death of a loved one, then please take the help of this story this morning and fill your heart with resurrection and what Jesus will do, because that is our help. That is help for the living. That is help for the grieving. And if, and in, when it comes to your own death, and I, you know, young guys here, I know you're, what, some of you are 8, 9, 10, and you don't want to be thinking about death right now. You know, you're so small. But actually, do you know what? We've got to be ready. We've got to be ready, because it could come anywhere. And we get ready by taking the help that is God himself. Come, tasted death, so that we might be raised to life. Let's bow our heads and let's pray for a few moments. Father, we are so thankful this morning for the help of Jesus. Help in the helplessness of death. Father, we know that the scriptures say that the wages of sin is death. We know that the scriptures teach us that death is coming to all of us. And we thank you that Jesus is the help we need. Father, may we not leave here today without taking hold of that help from Jesus. And Father, for the rest of us, may the hope of resurrection, may the help of Jesus fill our mouths even today. Father, even in the situations of this week, please may it be a truth that helps us in our own grief. Father, we praise you for Jesus. And we thank you in his name. Amen. Amen. We're going to stand and sing a couple of songs as we finish. They're songs I hope that will help us respond. So the first is, there is a hope. You know, Christians, we have a hope. Death is not the end. We don't have to spend our life fearing it, fleeing from it, because it's not the end for the Christian. There is a hope that burns within my heart. Can you pop up the words? Is that right? And then we're going to sing See What a Morning, a resurrection song. And then we'll pray as we stand, and then we'll finish. Let's stand together and sing of our great hope.